it's a rather special edition of Dan Really Likes Wine this week, because not only do I have more than my usual one guest, I've got three, in fact, but I've also got wine that pretty much nobody on the planet has ever heard of, let alone drunk, and that's for a number of reasons. It is absolutely brand new, it is made in minuscule quantities, and it has taken an almighty effort on my behalf just to be allowed a small sample in my glass. It's also wine with a terrific story, and that's my favourite kind of wine. Wine that has a tale to tell, and wine that is wrapped up in a beautiful narrative. And that is exactly what we find with the Nedbank Alchemy, which is the wine I introduced today, alongside three very esteemed guests. My favourite Manchester United fan, Ken Zani, number one. One of the world's great chefs, Chef and Tea, and one of my favourite winemakers, and probably the greatest winemaker the south of Johannesburg has ever produced, in Matthew Day. Guys, welcome. Lovely to have you all. And not, of course, a Manchester United fan.
We're a Liverpool fan.
Forgive you your Liverpool allegiance, Kizani, because you have orchestrated a platform I'm very excited to be part of, together with a tea and Matt, and a team of about 8,000 are all watching on at the moment. And this is this brand new wine space that we're going to taste and introduce and talk your story of the wine. But take a step back just before that, because for me, whenever there's anything like this, it doesn't matter what your official title is, and you have many, it comes down, as it does with the tea, as it does with Matt, to the passion that underscores whatever it is you do. And since I've first known you, I'm not sure any of our engagements haven't included gossip wine, because it's a space that you love, but also a space that you know goes far beyond just what's in the glass.
Absolutely. I mean, firstly, Dan, thank you for having me, and thank you to both T and Matthew for partnering us on this journey. It's been an incredible journey. So if I take a step back and you look at just as a brand, we've got a number of properties, whether it's Nedbank Cup, Nedbank Golf Challenge, Podo, branding, and I can see that the theme, as you can tell, is sports. And actually what we really wanted to do here is create a lifestyle property that would speak to our proposition of seeing money differently, right? And really seeing money differently is understanding that money well managed can make a real difference in people's lives. So when we thought about it in the context of wine, like how do we change how people experience wine, like how do we change how people see wine differently, we actually felt like the idea of alchemy, which is obviously, you know, when you mix two things and all of the magic of alchemy, we felt that wine could be a great platform to be able to add other really interesting passion points for our clients. And those passion points can be great food, yes, like, you know, what Chef T does. And I think in the future, we just a little sneak preview, it could be wine and music, it could be wine and fashion. But what it really does, it allows us a space to give our clients a fantastic experience where they get to connect, they get to really have a sense of adventure and really experience something new and different. It's the second event we're doing, and yeah, I'm really excited about where we can build this too.
It's the sense of connection that speaks very clearly to Dan Really Likes Wine, because I will connect wine to absolutely
anything.
I'm still not allowed back at my kids' primary school and I have to try to do a tasting for grade R's, which I thought was a bit crazy. It's great. But there are these licks, and the sense of adventure that you talk about is exactly why Chef and Tea is part of it. It's because, yes, you're a terrific chef, and yes, you get to see great recipes and these great food experiences, but you're also somebody for whom adventure is, I think, quintessential to the spirit. And I look at, for instance, when I flick through your cookbook, you talk about, well, this dish was inspired by Miami, this one was LA. Tell me a bit about that story and how it's not just food with you, but it is that greater sense of travel, of adventure, of exploration.
Oh, of course, absolutely. I mean, with food, food tells a story. Food is identity. And what I love the most for me, what inspires me, is just getting to understand people from a plate. So I enjoy traveling, I enjoy exploring, I enjoy connecting with people that sit together and just understanding what inspires the way they eat. And of course, for any great meal, you need a good bottle of wine to elevate it. So when the call came, I was very excited to co-create and collaborate with one of our best in the country, Matt, and you know, come up with a menu that really celebrates this beautiful wine.
T,
Take me back a step on this chef and tea story, because we're looking at you now, a television star, social media star, she's everywhere doing amazing things. It's not always the case with 99% of people who achieve this sort of success. So go back to those early days, being in love with food and falling in love with wine.
So for me, food is something that I did as a chore. I mean, I grew up in the township, and with my family, I was the one that really enjoyed cooking, and I cooked. I loved it, but professionally, it happened when I found myself failing a business. I wasn't always a chef. My journey as a chef is 10 years old. Prior to that, I was in the fashion industry. I'm just a creative in general. So I was in the fashion industry, and I also had a facilities management business. And when business didn't work out, I found myself wanting. And I remember this day in particular, driving down A Street here in Sandton, and I saw a group of chefs in Chef White coming out of a culinary school, and something said drive in.
Drove in,
long story short, sold everything that I had, went to LA to study as a chef, because for me, I put so much respect in everything that I do, and I thought, this is what I love, I'm passionate, it won't feel like working, but I really want to understand food deeply. And that's where the story started in LA. I took my dog, my baby. We sold everything, sold my house, and attempted to start over in LA. It didn't work out. I did a short course there at the Gordon Ramsay Gordon Ramsay course.
Where you learned to cook and use bad language.
Anyway, found my way back to SA 2015, and then in culinary school. And the journey began from there. First year, did TV work and corporate work. I've positioned myself. So One Health is my background in corporate. So I positioned myself to work, partner with brands and corporate brands. It just helped them be more relatable, you know, because food tells a story. And at the time, there weren't many chefs that were on the forefront of celebrating who you are, you know, cooking bab and elevating it, cooking amangwenya and having caviar served with amangwenya. You know, today there's plenty. Yeah, but that is my story. It started with failure. And I'm happy that I was bold enough to literally start from scratch. And I mean, the rest is history. I'm enjoying a beautiful journey. I'm enjoying amazing relationships with corporate. And just because I took that bold step and invested in myself.
I love that. You made that a very unexpected connection between the fashion world and finding yourself now cooking and what a decade it has been. Yeah. And like Kenzie, you epitomize high fashion. Yeah. Then, going, then there's Matt.
With the winemaker.
The story that T has is one that is unexpected but wonderful. There's an element of fairy tale to it. Has here is a few, because you're from the south of Johannesburg, so by rights you should either have been driving a tow truck or running cash and transit mice. That's generally, this is what we get to do at a Mondial. And yet instead, you find yourself as, I think at the age of 24, a winemaker at one of not just the great South African states, but the world's greatest states in Clan Constantia. You are suddenly given the guardianship of the sweet wine of Constantia, the Vin de Constance, which is as iconic as anything we have. And you have the world looking at this kid who's been given this job and saying, well, hang on, how's somebody going to sell to Johannesburg, the next big thing in South African wines? How did, in such a short period of time, south of Joburg become the king of Constantia?
Thanks, Dan. It's a long journey, although it is pretty short. So I could drive a tractor before I could ride a basket. I grew up on a farm in the south of Johannesburg. I love farming. All I wanted to do was farm. The other thing I really wanted to do is move away from Johannesburg. So I picked the one career in South Africa that you could do in the UK. So I landed up studying at the University of Stellenbosch. And I literally started up studying BSc in agriculture, viticulture and oenology, wanting to focus on viticulture. Did the two because they went hand in hand. I kind of went from a 50 percentile student, carried on like that, until I got one opportunity, and that was in my final year of university. We had to do an internship, and for that internship you had to spend a couple of months doing a harvest at a wine estate. And I went out there and I knocked on every single door of all the winemakers in the Cape, and unfortunately no one would give me a job because I was English speaking from the south of Johannesburg, I didn't know all the Afrikaans mafia in Stellenbosch. So fortunately, I got one reply after handwritten notes to Chris Williams at Mailist.
And I not a bad voice.
So I had my very first internship at Mailist. During that time, I landed up buying half a ton of Shiraz from the neighboring farm and a barrel, thinking as a student I'd make this wine and drink it with all my mates at the end of the year. It didn't quite happen like that. I left it in barrel, graduated, but because of my experience at Mailist, I went from being vaguely passionate about wine to incredibly passionate about wine. And I went from a 50 percentile student to basically a cum laude student in my final year. So went out after Stellenbosch, just worked in Australia in the Barossa Valley. Got back from Barossa, and I had bottled my Shiraz at Mailist. I had 300 bottles, much like this story actually. 300 bottles. I, for some reason, got a job at interview at Plankenstancia, and that was with Adam Mason, the winemaker at Plankenstancia, and that was purely for an internship position. And I drove in and I bottled this wine. I had a magnum of Shiraz in my boot that was still remaining from bottling. So I walked into the job interview and just slapped a bottle of wine on the table. And I said, Adam, if you like this wine, you can give me the job. If you don't like the wine, we'll carry on with the next week. And I've never left. So after that, I actually went to go work in France in Saint-Emilion. And then through Plankenstancia, I worked all over the world. So I worked at some of the greatest states of the world. So I worked in Hungary, I worked in Napa Valley. And I've worked with our partners when it comes to the Alphany project in Bordeaux as well. So it's quite exciting. The rest is history. I've been at Plankenstancia for 17 years. They haven't managed to fire me yet. The farm was initially owned by the Yerster family. 2011, Plankenstancia was sold to the new owners. Adam then decided to move and make wine in Stellenbosch, and the new owners of Plankenstancia didn't have a winemaker. So they looked at me, I'd been there a couple of years, they said, Mac, we'll give you one chance, prove yourself, you can have the job as head winemaker. That was 2012, and now I've taken up the reins at Anvilca as well. So it's quite a nice experience.
It's a wonderful, wonderful story, and I think, Kenzie, so much of it appeals to the ideas that you and I and team bounced around at the very start, where it is so much more than just wine. And I fully love these stories, and I get to tell them every single week on the show, because every winemaker has got something special in terms of their narrative. But I think this one here is somebody who, just like in T by All Rights, he shouldn't be a chef, so by all rights, Matt probably shouldn't be making wine. And yet somehow just the stars have aligned. And that's kind of what we have here. So many different
that connection that comes from a very unexpected place, I think, is really, really so beautiful. And it's not by mistake that the two of them are actually part of this project. I mean, when we briefed Dan on, you know, the type of winemaker we wanted, the story that we wanted, you came up pretty immediately, to be honest.
She said no. He's still making box wine. All right, that's better.
Okay, fine. But seriously, and even when we then decided, okay, our first alchemy was going to be food, and Chef Nti was like one of the first names. And, you know, for me, like last week when we launched Alchemy, you talk about the unexpectedness of your food. I was like really blown away. And I'm not going to, you know, some people are going to experience it today. Yeah. Just like how you used amaguinha, right? Yeah. So like for me, it was like so beautiful. And so if we think about the connectiveness of what we're trying to do with Alchemy, it's exactly this, for people to experience something that maybe they wouldn't necessarily put together from the onset.
And to you, one of the answers I get almost always when I ask a winemaker about their favorite wine, when I ask a chef about their favorite dish, when I just ask my friends who like to even drink about their favorite memories about food and wine, it's not almost always a specific dish, not a specific body of wine. It's where I was in the school I was with. It was that sense of occasion. And I can reel off a whole part my memories where the wine was great and the food was fantastic, and it's that occasion, it's beyond just it's what sticks with us.
I mean, I find when I create recipes, for me the process is I go back to growing up at home and the food that I ate, how it made me feel. And when I create food, I try and tell a story and invoke that, because I know at the end of the day, people will eat the lechoy, and a few weeks down the line, they forget the palate, they forget what it tasted like, but then they'll remember what it felt like, they'll remember the connection and the people around them. So yes, you're right. I mean, with food, it has a way of evoking those beautiful emotions. It tells a beautiful story. And one of the greatest moments, I remember I had a dinner and I presented a meal and someone tasted, it was a tasting, and person literally tears. They're like, oh, this takes me back to, you know. So I love that. Definitely emotions can be evoked, but more importantly, it's just what you remember is who you were with.
I've had a number of tears with beans that I produced. I think the reasoning has been slightly different.
It's because of Jen.
I've had a couple of great toasted sandwiches at Kenzie's house. Is there a chef hiding behind the winemaker, Matt?
I love making food. I love the occasion. Sunday lunch is always really important. This bubbly, bringing family scale.
Yeah.
Sharing good wine and, you know, just the occasion. Wine isn't the star. Wine is this is there to have fun with the food. So it is incredible. I pretend to cook. I think my wife's a much better cook than I am. And I definitely won't call myself a chef. So,
before we tell the exact story of this wine, just one more element to this platform that we've got, Kenzie and Elby, this year. It's in tea with food. Next year, it could be fashion, it could be travel. There are so many different elements that come into play. But whatever happens, there is a fund attached to this and there is a broader objective. And I know we get all the time spent looking at this because we can have a lot of fun with this. We could eat great meals and drink great wine and entertain people. And you know, that in itself would probably justify what's been done. But it had to be something more than that. And this fund is now helping all the people of the wine industry, in particular, giving some young people at Pataşi to develop the Kanye, which does incredible work, the chance to be opened up to this world of hospitality.
Absolutely, Dan. I mean, again, I'm going to go back to the purpose of B'nai Bank Brand, which is to use our financial expertise to make a positive impact on society. We truly believe that we will never be a sustainable bag if South Africa or Africa is not sustainable. What does that sustainability look like? It means low unemployment. It means people with opportunities, people with transport, education, people with opportunities for jobs. And so in anything that, I think you've partnered with us in many projects. So if you take, for example, the Cup, you know, we had the Giona team search, which was around finding young football players to come into, you know, become professional football players. And we've got someone like Hobri Modiba, who plays in Mafana Mafana right now, who actually came from the Giona team search. You look at from a golf perspective, we are currently sponsoring the Junior Golf Championship because we really want to diversify the players, you know, from a golf perspective. We'll play at Nedbank Golf Challenge. So it's really important for us that whatever we do, we actually have a real positive impact, a spin on society. But we also know that actually most South Africans, even that's our clients included, would like to have a way of being able to give back. And they never are quite sure how to do that. So with the Alchemy Fund, it's really around the purchasing of the Nedbank Alchemy Wine, which he will talk more about, which I think is a superb wine, if I say so myself. And those proceeds go, you know, right now, I mean, the Pinotage Academy that you've spoken about, but it's also going to, we're looking at a couple of areas. One, it's around bringing young winemakers into the industry in a much more diversified hood on young winemakers, sommeliers, ensuring that the farm workers, kids as well, like get given opportunities. We've got a big vision for what we want to do here. When I look back on Nedbank Alchemy, hopefully I'll still be at Nedbank in 10 years' time, I want to hear more stories than just the connection. I actually want to hear more stories about the impact that we make as a bank.
Luckily, that process has already kicked off because there are a number of narrative strands that are already in play. An incredible chef, and then a winemaker was given this task. And I remember when I found you, Matt, and I've been asked by Kenzie and her assistant, Liko, if I could look at a few options and suggest a few people. And again, as with so much of this particular project, the stars did align. Because as I called you, so you had something rather special, and you were trying to work out what to do with it.
Yeah, so Dan, firstly, I didn't realize the extent of the actual project. I wanted to recommend a very average Shiraz, or there was a barrel of wine for someone who just wanted to make something for the restaurant. And then when you told me who it was, there were two barrels that basically were perfect from the beginning. So the wine is made at Walker Wine Estate in Stellenbosch, which is our partnering farm, our sister farm to Klankensteinshire. It's actually our red wine estate. So on this farm, it is in the perfect location to make Rongstar red wines. We have the pedigree behind it of two legendary Bordeaux winemakers who have been shareholders in the brand since 2005.
Just tell us who those are and why they are so consequential, because sure. To me that's a really important part.
Yes, really. So the one is Hubert de Bois. So Hubert de Bois in Chateau Angelus. So Angelus is on the right bank in Saint-Emilion.
I visited. Oh, they've played the bells for me.
Unfortunately, none of us... none of us can afford his wine, but anyway, so there are actually a couple on auction tonight. And the other one is Bruno Prats. So the Prats family come from a long line of winemaking. They used to own a property called Costa Estenal. They own a lot of properties in France, and they now consult with a lot of wineries throughout the world. So two rock stars. Between the three of us, we've got way over 100 years of winemaking experience. I've got absolutely none of those. But basically, my journey at Klankensteinshire started because they got shares in Klankensteinshire. We bought Ann Wilker, and it was purely to have these guys as consultants and mentors to myself from the beginning. So I could phone them up, I could email them, they would come ask and spend time with me and create the content. So that's what Ann Wilker is. So it's the two of them plus myself plus Sebastian Worthington Fitman, who's our winemaker at Ann Wilker. Basically, two wines. First wine, the Ann Wilker first label. Second wine, which is our second label. And our third wine called Alchemy, a white sauv. So what happened in that in 2023 is we had the perfect block six Cabernet Sauvignon. Everything was absolutely perfect in terms of flavor, concentration. When it got to about a year after aging the wine, I had Hubert with me. We were tasting through all the barrels, and he basically said, this is too good to put into the Amalga blend. So we left it for a whole nother year, and that's pretty much when you phoned me. It was perfect.
Come through quite a lot of conversations since then. There's been a lot of talk and discussion, and I remember coming down and tasting the wine and realizing you weren't just trying to sell me a good game. It really was as good as you had suggested, and that took care of the wine part of it. Then at roughly the same time, we also had Kenzie to find the other component. It was food. Yep. We settled on Chef and TJ. You remember the first call, the first email and thing?
Oh, 100%. I remember I got the email. It usually when I get a brief, I like to sleep on it and talk to my team and then come back and say yes or no. Immediately. I'm like, yes, I'm in, because I mean, what a beautiful project for me. What pulls is the heart. You know, I love the foundation, the giving back. And it's more than just us coming together and dining, but making a difference. Just listening to you talk about, you know, NetBank and your mission and why you do what you do, it's really inspiring. I mean, I grew up in Soweto, so I come from a place where you are, the environment makes you a person that cares, you know. So I like to connect with, when I work, I like to connect with brands that you really want to make a difference. And this is definitely one of those. So, yeah, it was an easy one immediately.
Oh, we should have tasted lips.
I didn't even discuss with no one. I reacted and I was like, yes.
I'm very glad you did, because the food, obviously, is such an important part. I think you've added chef and tea to this project, and that really is the important part. And it's a great endorsement of a wine we have with us here, and it is a 2023 Cabernet Sauvignon. If you're listening to this, as many of you will be, then you'll be able to hear sighs of joy and possibly the sound of angels playing harps in the background. If you're watching, it's just big smiles. It is Stellenbosch Cabernet Sauvignon. I think, Matt, if we look at varietals from around the world, there are a handful that speak so naturally to a perfect area. We know about Pinot Noir and about Chardonnay Burgundy. We know about Malbec in Mendoza. There are a couple of these areas. Stellenbosch Cabernet Sauvignon just fit together so beautifully. And often not in the way that I think people are imagining, because people often think, oh, Stellenbosch, that's kind of big, broad-shouldered red wine. It's packing a punch. It's going to be amazing, but knock us off our feet a bit. And yeah, to me, this speaks of what is modern Stellenbosch Cabernet Sauvignon. It is elegant. It has incredible structure. It has immense power, but there's a restraint to that power. And it really takes the fruit and the terroir and says everything else is secondary to it. And I think that's what you've captured in this gloss.
And before you answer, I thought the first time I take, I honestly thought it was a blend. That's just like how, I mean, everything. Like I thought it would give me a patch when it was. I said, nah, Dan's lying. It's not a
patch.
Straight cast serif. Oh, so it comes down to, like Chef and T, it talks about using good products from the right place, sourced from really good places. It's exactly the same thing with wine. The only difference that we have is we only have one chance. We can't repeat the exercise tomorrow in the kitchen. So we have one chance. We have to ensure that all the stars align. Cabernet Sauvignon works perfectly in Stellenbosch. We know that. And Wilke itself is slightly closer to the ocean. So it's just behind the list, next to Lariche and Ken Forrester. So closer to Haldeberg and Samsud West. So you get that oceanic influence and that cools down vineyards. So that means that you get that slightly slow ripening period and you get slightly fresher wines. The mandate that I had when I got to Wilke was purely make it lighter, make it fresher, and make it easier to drink, and keep it serious. So that's kind of like everything is opposite. You know? So how the hell do you do that?
It's like alchemy.
It's alchemy of figuring it out.
You know what I mean?
So what we've done is we've picked the Cabernet, I think, at the perfect time. We have identified the perfect barrels for it. We've made it in a way that is respectful in terms of winemaking. And that's not through me. That's because Bruno and Obey are masters. And in terms of tannin extraction, getting that finesse right during the fermentation process, and then just finishing it all. So Cabernet Sauvignon is also grown on, and I guess that's where the label's kind of inspired. It's grown on what we would call as coffee clip, which is ferricrete in English, I guess. Ferricrete is basically a very high iron content soil. It's very gravel-like. And all that does is it means that the water doesn't get retained in the soil. So it basically washes straight through the soil. There isn't a lot of absorption of water. So your berries are really nice and small and concentrate. So together with that, there is a slight kind of ferrous, saline, umami texture to this wine. And the other thing we do is we don't overcomplicate winemaking. You know, we're not forcing it. We have the right site. We have the right location. I'm a lazy winemaker. You got good vineyards. You hope don't tell anyone. You got good vineyards. You can make good wines. So don't tell the farmers. Get a big head.
One of the things you discover very quickly with winemakers is they are always reluctant to accept accolades. They're very humble about it. They're like passing on to everybody else all of all the success. This really is a success. It's a terrific wine. And T, when you taste this, I was going to say, what do you think of making? But I know as a chef, you haven't actually made me think for about 5 years because your team, 60, who create all the potatoes and wash all the dishes and do all the work. It's kind of like when you run a marketing department and does everything in there. When you list it,
why do we hire this guy?
Low budget, can't it? What comes to mind for you?
So for me, definitely, you want something, you know, with great depth, like, because I pick up definitely the umami flavors, but I feel like it could also work with fish. You know, I would use it for meat, but I feel like even with fish, you know, because it feels so light, it feels so fresh. So I definitely want to have a piece of steak with this.
I think one of the marks for me of all great wine is there has to be a certain dexterity. It can't just be this only sits in one little corner.
Yeah.
It's got to be able to speak to different people, speak to different dishes, speak to different occasions. I think this does this beautifully. Before I get a final word from Matt on this wine, Kenzie, the platform is up and running. I've been speaking about this for a very long time.
Yeah.
It's taken a little while to get it going, but I think it's got going in the best possible way, not just for the collaboration and with this wonderful wine, but with storytelling it wraps around it. And yet we really have only just begun.
I know. It's last week was really beautiful. I think the team and I, my Nedbank marketing team, the agency that works on this, I'm incredibly proud of them and the work that they've done. This doesn't come alive without a group of people behind it who are very passionate about what we're trying to do. It's also easy because it's wine. To be honest, right? But yeah, I mean, we launched this at Cane Constantia last week. Gave us such a beautiful experience of your wine farm. I was at Exco actually on Monday yesterday, and when I was telling the rest of the Exco what my Thursday was like, everyone was very unhappy with me. And so, yeah, but it's exciting. And today is obviously the Joburg launch. We've got a couple of our Nathan clients who are going to be here. For us, it's just the beginning, Dan. And I'm just so happy that we're here now. Look, some things need to take a little bit longer to launch because you've got to do the right partners of collaborators into it. And you've got to make sure that you've got the right start where you set such a high standard. The expectation is actually, I'm okay with that. Like, we'll deliver. Like, yeah.
Great wine takes time, and this project does as well.
Absolutely.
I want to leave a final word to our winemaker because you've given us first edition, and I suspect that as the project unfolded, the magnitude of it dawned on you. And well, hang on, this is not just a one-off. We're doing a barrel of someone's 21st. This is some deferred type wine that kicks off the platform, but it's going to have so much of an impact beyond wine. And so you wanted to get it just right. I've made it clear that I think you've got it just right. But if I were to ask Matthew Day, who, yes, the god of Sauvignon Blanc and the master of sweet wine, but someone who I know has made some exceptional reds over the years, where would this red wine of the ones that you've made in your 2 decades or thereabouts sit for you?
Dan, I have to start off to say that I'm really sad that I'm the first person to make this wine because it's the beginning and there's such a long journey to go with it. And I'd love to see where it is in 15, 20 years. So in terms of this is my best effort that I think I've ever done. It's the first time I've ever done a straight Cabernet, but this rivals any other red wine that I've ever made. It is up there as one of the greatest red wines I've been involved in. So I'm very happy to share it with Nepe for this very worthy cause. So, cheers.
There we go. That is no small statement to make for a winemaker of the caliber and magnitude of Matthew Day. To say this is as good as he's done in 20-odd years of winemaking is something quite considerable. It's entirely apt, though, because this is a really, really exciting platform. And it's not just that it sits within the realm of a particular brand. It's that it has the opportunity to go so far in terms of changing the nature of not just general lives in the wine industry, but I suspect all of the elements of the industry itself. And that is what really, really excites me. And to kick it off with such great people and to do so on the show today makes it extra special. Matt, congratulations on a wonderful wine. And see, lovely to have you on the show. First of many, many visits. And thank you for a fabulous menu. And then Kenzie, this has been so much fun with you and the team. And here is for many, many more.
Absolutely.
So there we go. Watch this space. The wine is available. It might well be sold out by the time this is this, in which case next year's Alchemy will have to be yours. But whether you buy it now, next year, or in the future, no, this is not just going to be an exceptional glass of wine. It's also a glass of wine that makes an incredible difference. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers.